In the most ancient tradition of the church, today is the end of the Christmas season, or better, the Epiphany season. They divided this up into three great appearances of Jesus. One to the wise men in that passage in Matthew, and then the baptism, and then finally this, the wedding at Cana. And you have all these sermons about this triple manifestation. So that's why the music after communion is going to be a Christmas hymn. And it's difficult. At least I've had a very hard time trying to coordinate these three readings. So I'm going to give two little sermons, one on the Gospel of John and one on the passage from the Philippians. John's Gospel is at pains to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of all things Jewish. Jesus is the new Moses, giving the new commandment to love. Although in Jewish theology, that was not a new commandment. So what we have here is another example of what has been called John's replacement theology, namely the old Jewish stuff is replaced by the new Jewish stuff, namely represented by Jesus. So these water jars, which are there for washing people's feet, are the water of the old Judaism changed into the wine of the new Judaism, the Judaism of Jesus, the Messiah. And this plays out to the whole gospel. So we don't know what really is going on, but certainly the theological agenda here is pretty clear if you read this in the context of the whole gospel. So that's what's going on. We don't know historically, of course, what's afoot here, but John wants to make that point that in Jesus everything Jewish has been enriched, fulfilled. Okay, I was wrong. It's not Philippians, it's Corinthians. This famous passage from 1 Corinthians is important, I think, especially today, whereas I will read some stuff after communion, where the church has been severely divided into what can only be called a caste system. We have the clergy and the non-clergy. If you read Paul, this is absolutely typical of Paul. You have everybody having jobs in the Christian community for the sake of everybody else. So you don't have some privileged caste in charge of everybody else. Rather, you have everybody having been called with certain gifts for the sake of the whole community. This is supposed to be the consciousness that we have in the church. It's not, of course. We got the bosses and the bossed. But what Paul is saying is that this great variety of gifts exists within the church. Everybody has something to offer. Everybody has something to contribute. And the point of the contribution is the wellness of the whole, of the whole body. I don't know, I've been thinking about this all week, and all I can come up with is to keep saying the same thing. We don't have this sense of the way things are supposed to be in the church. We don't. I don't. I mean, I've been ordained 47 years, and I'm trying my darndest not to see myself as some kind of privileged figure in the church, but rather one of everybody with my job to do, and everybody else has their job to do. It's extremely important to see our interrelatedness in that fashion, not in some kind of hierarchical fashion. I think that the whole theology of the priesthood, with its nutty insistence on a metaphysical change by reason of ordination, needs badly to be revisited. I'm not superior to anybody in this room in any way. If I have any gifts at all, just as they are, they're for the sake of everybody else. This radical sense of interdependence is what Jesus was all about. We do belong to each other. We belong with each other. And everybody is to contribute something to each other. And that is the church. I mean, this is what the Second Vatican Council attempted to reestablish when it described us as the people of God. Not some kind of hierarchical structure, but the people of God. And the people consists of a group in which everybody is a contributing member. Period. Full stop. Unfortunately, this is not symbolized properly in the church, at least in my experience. We still see ourselves as a privileged caste, the clergy. And that's sick. Full stop. It is sick and it is destructive and it's totally counter to what we're being told by Paul, and not just Paul, but by Jesus. And the pagans, the bosses, make their power felt. You know, we're all familiar with that. Among you, it should be the other way around. You're all equals. So I just recommend that to you, to your own thought, to your own self-understanding as to where we fit in this body. It's supposed to be the body of Christ, not the body of some great big hairy hierarchical institution. Not supposed to work that way. And finally, I have been transfixed by I suppose a lot of people have been, by the events in Haiti. Dudonné, my Haitian son, in tears, discovered after several days that the orphanage in which he had been raised, six-story building, has pancaked upon itself, and at least two of the kids were dead. There are sisters and brothers, folks. There are sisters and brothers. Full stop. So when you see all those images of dead hands and feet sticking out of piles and rubbles, that's where our heart is supposed to go. That's where our generosity is supposed to be directed. That's what Paul is talking about here. There's one spirit animating us in a variety of ways for the sake of each other, always for the sake of each other.